bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
The free throw line of life. Say it. Say it. Free throw line of life. Pass the ball to. Hit you up now on the give and go. Yep. Jones. Got me a basketball, Jones. I hate Tobacco Road. Those people toyed with me tonight. I don't like that. I got toyed with tonight. I think we all did. Smartway guards the law firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, Tony Basilio reporting. Tennessee loses tonight. In the process, gains a lot of fans. 73-71, the final. The Vols are the best 4-4 team in America. After getting blown out earlier in the year by Chattanooga, Tennessee played a very good Wisconsin team off their feet in Maui. Played a pretty good Oregon team off their feet in Maui. And really should have beaten North Carolina tonight in their building. And yes, I am writing that. And I'm not high, drunk, smoking something. At least I'm trying not to. It's the fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where we talk about it. And all of us can talk about it. I want to invite you to get on with me tonight. My number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. 200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio. And this is it. I'm pretty fired up about what we saw tonight. That was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? You know, college basketball is a beautiful thing because the game can sneak up on you. Tonight's game snuck up on me. I think on all of us. Tennessee a 20-point underdog in that game. And they came that close to getting out of there with a win. And here's the thing. When you have as many guys playing as many minutes as Tennessee did tonight, and Carolina is able to run, they have the luxury of bringing in that Bradley kid for Meeks at the end of the game. I mean, at some point, and then they have that really athletic kid that they stole from VCU, making plays late in the game. I mean, our hustle guys, you know, there's a lot of hustle in that game tonight. And I appreciate that. At the end of the game, obviously, Lamonte Turner's trying to make a play. You gotta get that thing out for three, though. Little things in that game are going to keep you from beating teams like that. Tennessee is that close in all three of those games. Now, one could make a case that they've kind of overscheduled a little bit early in the season, and I'm sort of in that camp. I'd rather have some wins right now. But one thing's for sure, you know what you got. You got what you got. What you got is what you got. And if you want to get in with us tonight, My number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 as we talk about it. And this is sort of an impromptu version of the show. I don't really know phone activity-wise what we're going to have tonight. Let me give you a few thoughts. First real road test for the Tennessee basketball team. This is the first game they play on the road, period, end of sentence. So far, this is the first real on-the-road road game they're playing over in Carolina. I know a bunch of Tennessee fans that made the trip. My brother-in-law was there tonight. Mark Griffin was there as well. I tweeted out a picture that was sent to me of Davy Boy Nathan and also Jed was there. Jerry Green, Jed Baugh. Do we remember Jed Baugh? Jed was there. And yes, I am tonight, for those watching on Facebook Live, I am rocking my Eagles shirt right now, despite the fact that they humiliated and embarrassed Eagle Nation today. And I have my Tennessee hat on in honor of the occasion. This is good stuff. I'm really proud of that team. I'm really proud of that team. And the bottom line is that, you know, you got to begin it to win it. I'm proud of the way those guys played. I was shocked. I'm not going to lie to you. Shocked. Now, the reason I'm kind of a recruiting guy and I beat that drum is at the end of that game, you saw what talent is. You go win basketball games the last 5 minutes, you gotta have a couple horses. And the truth is, Tennessee was flat out next level in the first half. I mean, they balled out. If this team just had one more player, just one more, there's no telling where this season would be right now. Or what we would be looking at. Tennessee comes out an 18.5 point dog at half. Jed is sitting courtside along with a guy I started in the business, Dave Nathan, who was doing the game on radio for North Carolina. Great for Dave Nathan. He's a great kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but I'm proud of him. Tennessee answered the bell. Grant Williams giving the Vols a lift early on in the game. Not afraid. Not one bit. Tennessee starts the game with a end zone violation on Fulkerson, and you're thinking you're watching football again. And that's really the only thing most of the day that kid did wrong. I'm telling you. I was pleased. I don't know about you. The Vols struggled early with their pressure and their length of Carolina, but at the end of it all, you gotta say that tonight's result is pretty impressive for where we're expecting this team to be. I gotta tell you right now that I'm pleasantly surprised. Now, the record is about what I thought the record would be, but the level to where the basketball team is playing, I give them a lot of credit. And really, that's what this is about. This is about appreciation, tonight. And this, the way these guys have played, I mean, they're playing so damn hard. How can you not appreciate that? You know, every time North Carolina makes a play, they're showing the graphic. Number 58 player in America. Number 34 player in America. Number 20. And Tennessee's got these guys out here that nobody thinks belongs. And they go out tonight. And you know, a kid like Jordan Bowden, he almost led Tennessee at the end of the game, he's got a shot there. I mean, the kid's out there playing. He's from Carter at North Carolina. It's beautiful. Tennessee in the game, paced by Robert Hubbs III. He finishes with 21 points, 6 rebounds, and assist. Bowden on the night, 12 points. And those are your two Tennessee scorers in double figures. Tennessee gets to 73. Only two players on the evening in double figures. By the way, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight, again, 865-200-5402. Let me roll through some of the other scoring for you in the game. Lamonte Turner on the night with 9 points, finishes with a board and an assist. John Fulkerson tonight, 8 points, 4 boards and an assist. And Fulkerson is a nice player. I like the way he passes. He sees the court. Obviously, he's got to get bigger. Obviously, he's got to get stronger. Obviously, Kennedy Meeks getting the put back there at the end, kind of one of the key plays in the game. As it is, looks like a player Tennessee will be able to build this thing back with, no doubt about it. Also in tonight's game, Grant Williams, though he's undersized. Grant Williams in tonight's game, 7 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, and he fouled out of the game. Who played harder than Grant Williams in his 36 minutes on the floor tonight? And I mean, these guys all really played a lot of basketball. Lou Evans, 5 points and a board. Alexander, 2 points with a board. Mostella, 2 points, 3 boards. Mostella, pretty active. Though, not a huge scoring night for him. And then Admiral Schofield played, got a board, got an assist. Tennessee loses 73-71. And for the Vols in the night, they were 65% shooting at halftime in this one. And they end up in the ball game. Shooting 51% from the field. Went cold in stretches of the second half. That's going to cost you every time. Absolutely going to cost you. Foul shooting for Tennessee tonight. Tennessee very good from the line. They were 12 of 15. Really allowed them to stay in it. Carolina, on the other hand, when you look at how they did foul shooting wise, just looking at the numbers. Carolina on the night. Just 13 of 24 from the line, 54% for North Carolina. Tennessee three-pointers, both teams really struggled to connect from three-point land. Tennessee 3 out of 13, just 23% on the night. Carolina 2 out of 17, 11%. Brutal three-point shooting from Carolina tonight. Tennessee out-rebounded in the basketball game, 48-36, and that's going to get you every time. Especially down the stretch when Carolina had several key second half second chance shots, that sort of thing. And so the Vols lose tonight, 73-71 to North Carolina. Tennessee falls to 4-4 on the year. A chance at midweek to get back above 500. With another part of the undercard of the schedule coming in, and then next week down in Nashville against a very good Gonzaga team, and that's going to be an absolute handful for this Tennessee team. One thing about it, here in about 2.5 weeks, they're going to walk out of this non-league pretty tested. Pretty battered and bruised and tested. And I'll tell you something that's really impressive about tonight's game. Tennessee does what they did without their point guard. And I know that the point was belabored on ESPN that one of the better point guards in America for Carolina, obviously, when you talk about Barry, you're talking about one of the kids that's one of the top probably 5 point guards in the country. But he's out for Carolina. Tennessee without Bone. And the Vols made it hold up. No Joel Berry, though. That's a big time loss for Carolina. But I would tell you, Bone, for where Tennessee is right now, that's a big time guy to have missing. That's a big time guy to have missing. I'll tell you this about this Tennessee team. They're better than I thought they were. Now, record-wise, they're about where I thought they'd be. But I'm an eyeball test guy. Eyeball test-wise, I was wrong about a lot of these guys. Eyeball test-wise, these guys are better than their rankings say they are. Now, I'm not going to apologize for saying we need some top 100 players to go with this. I'm not going to apologize for that. I will not apologize for that, because it's truth. But this team is really fun to watch. Now, one of my concerns is, you have that few guys playing at that pace, at that level, that's going to wear you out. And last year they hit a wall, if you'll remember. Last year's team hit a wall, and this year's team will struggle to maintain it. But I'm really impressed with the level, the execution tonight from the Vols. And I found Tennessee to be really impressive in tonight's game. I'm going to try to find the full box and get the turnovers and all that stuff. In the meantime, if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. And I've got somebody on the guest line now joining. Who's with us on the guest line?
Tommy B, your longtime partner, happy partner tonight. Not as happy as I'd hoped to be, as we closed out the game, but, certainly impressed the way Tennessee played on the road against a top 10 basketball team.
You know, I was, Bino, you know, I was thrilled to see the level of play. I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it, Tennessee took the play to them. And North Carolina looked bored, and they looked uninspired, and they almost got beat in their building. And it was almost pretty damn embarrassing, too, Beanstar.
Well, I think the most impressive thing, Tony, is Tennessee is not scared. If they're not scared in that situation, they're probably not going to be scared in any situation. The only thing today that they were is too small and too inexperienced to execute down the stretch. Other than that, I think this team did everything and anything we could have asked of them tonight.
It's a great way of putting it. And not scared will get you a lot of things in this sport, and it'll carry you a long way. Kind of reminds you of the old scene in Hoosiers when Gene Hackman gets that tape measure out and goes, 10 feet, guys, 10 feet. Measures off the foul line. You know, Tennessee tonight, Bino, that Williams kid, he's undersized, plays so damn hard. Now, it's weird that Admiral Schofield is nowhere to be found, because I would have thought that he could have been a part of this. It doesn't surprise me that Mostella has a diminishing role. It does surprise me when you need bigger bodies that he doesn't play a little more. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is on Schofield. Early on, you know, it looked like that even though he wasn't recruited by Rick Barnes, when you watched him last year, he looked like a kid that was really going to come on and be a good player in Barnes's program. But for whatever reason, he's regressed. We're not getting right now out of Lou Evans what I had hoped that we would get out of him as far as a rebounder. But I certainly was happy with the way Robert Hubbs played. It's nice to see Robert Hubbs have an assertive game against one of the better teams on our schedule. Because lots of times he's kind of faded in those situations, but he certainly didn't today. He was a vital cog in what we were able to do.
865-200-5402. You know, the Hubbard's a guy that we, for years, have talked about and said, you know, five-star, and he's had to carry that around. And I feel good for him because he went into a big stage tonight on national television. A huge opportunity for him, obviously. And he really showed out. He really played tough. He really played well. And he looked the part tonight. You know, he looked like a senior. He looked like he belonged out there. So, you know, I'm happy for him. Good for him.
Yeah, no question. It's the toughness that you like to see, Tony, because he's, as we said, he has a tendency to kind of fade against the best of opponents, and it's almost like he doesn't know how good he really can be. But tonight, I thought that he was excellent.
And then tonight, also, I tweeted out a photo of Dave Nathan and Jerry Green courtside. Of course, Jerry Green and Roy, they're good friends. It would have been so great to see Tennessee beat Jerry Green right in front of Jerry Green. But as it is, close but no cigarette for the basketball Vols, and that's going to have to be good enough. That's going to have to be good enough for now, Bino. But your point is a great one, which is Tennessee showing no fear. Absolutely no fear in that spot. And I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. I think that's a big thing. This team is this team, as you said, is really going to be tested by the time that we go into SEC play. And you know, we all thought that maybe they had that Barnes may have overscheduled based on the lack of playing time that most of the guys that were going to log minutes this year have. What you would think you would find in that is a team that's intimidated and a team that feels like they're in over their head. That hasn't been this team. You know, once they got beyond the UTC game, they haven't had a game that's been disappointing. They haven't all been wins, but they've all been encouraging performances.
You know, that is so true. You know, look, I personally wouldn't mind one of these, a couple. Tennessee's overscheduled a little bit here in the non-league for where they are right now. They just have. I mean, you want to give yourself a chance coming out of your conference record or going into your conference season. The thing about the league, though, is that the league is so soft, you're almost forced to do that. In a lot of ways, I'm glad to see it because in many ways, for many, many years, this is what I was wanting from the basketball program. Play some heavyweight teams. Why not?
Yeah. What you fear in that with a young team, Tony, is that they get shell-shocked and they lose confidence. That's not what's happened.
No.
This team has gotten beat, but those games have helped them. So I don't after seeing what they've done and how they've performed in those games, it's no longer an issue for me.
I agree with that. Here's what's weird about where we are, and we'll have this conversation on the show tomorrow when we join each other, Bino, the regular show, which tomorrow will be live from Smoothie King. It's like we're in an upside-down sports world right now. Besides from the fact that your Colts embarrassed themselves today with that call on fourth and one, that's one of the most atrocious miscarriages of football I've ever seen. The fact that my Eagles are in complete free fall. Thank God that the Cleveland Browns exist, or my Eagles would have the worst organization in the NFL. But We're at a year, Bino, where the basketball team looks. Try to follow me here, because I think I'm gonna blog about this tomorrow. The basketball team looks purposeful, interested, engaged, and well coached. While our football team, from the get-go this year, looked bored, at times outmanned, shoved around. If you would have said, describe to me back in August, which adjectives would describe the football situation, which adjectives would describe the basketball situation, I would have taken and mixed my adjectives. None of this makes any sense. And maybe that's why sports is so interesting. Maybe that's why. Perhaps that's why. Maybe. I don't
know. No question, Tony. There's no question. You're exactly right. I would have expected the adjectives that we would have used for our football team would have been poised and accomplished. And I would have expected us to talk about growing pains and confusion in basketball. And it's been exactly the opposite.
It's completely flipped over. And to the point where eight games into the football season, you are wanting to take your fist and stick it through the TV. 8 games into the basketball season, you're thinking, this is pretty freaking fun to watch. These guys are fun to watch. It's really strange. I mean, it's really weird. It's just weird. There's just no other way. There's just no other way to put it.
We've talked often, Tony. There's nothing better in sports than some unexpected success. And I know we're blubbering over a loss here, and we would never do that in football.
No,
but it's still people here want you to get the very most out of your ability, and this basketball team is doing it, and the football team fell far short.
Some people tonight on Facebook Live. Bo says, Fulkerson reminds me of Dane Bradshaw, real scrappy. I think he's got a chance to be a better basketball player than Dane Bradshaw, I'll be honest with you. He's a big kid, and he's really skilled, and he sees what he's doing. The only thing Fulkerson lacks is about 100 pounds. And I don't say that lightly. He's got to gain a good 65, 75 pounds. A good 75 pounds. But for a big guy, he does a lot of things well, and he sees the court, and he passes the ball. I mean, all these guys have their pluses. Grant Williams has that motor and those hands. Now, what you don't want Grant Williams doing is handling the basketball. You've already seen that. Tonight it was disastrous. A couple times he and Carolina forced him to play faster. As it relates to Fulkerson, Tennessee had a couple of lockdown rebounds they had to have, and Kenny Meeks just kept ripping them away from him. And that's just going to happen. That's just going to happen.
Yeah, Tony, our guards aren't experienced enough to help Williams a little bit. A couple of times we had some spacing issues out there just simply because our point guard got too close. And got things bottled up there. You're exactly right about Williams, but our guards have to help him a little bit more when he's out front, too.
Again, there's no bone, you know, and that's the other thing. They were going on, and by the way, Jay Billis is great to watch do a game. I just enjoy him immensely.
Yeah.
Guy tells the truth.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's excellent. And he doesn't try to be cute. No. And he tells the truth. And it is what it is. And I thought he did a nice job. Twitter here, Dirty Green says, how obvious missed goaltending call in the first half, would that have made a difference in the game? Well, I mean, yeah, two more points, but look. Bino, I'm looking at that game and I'm thinking to myself, This is going to be one of these deals where unless we put this thing away, when we had the opportunity to do that, if it's in a couple, within a couple of possessions, Carolina is going to win this game in their building. Is that how you felt about it? Because that's exactly how I felt about it.
Yeah, I tell you, the big play, Tony, it was, in my mind, was we had a three-point lead. I think it was after a timeout. We got a, with a little over, right, I think it was like 2.5 minutes left. And we got an open look three-pointer. I can't remember if it was Bowden that took it. I think it may have been Bowden. Good look, good shot, just didn't go. And instead of being 6 points up, you're 3 points up.
Yep.
And then we had two bad possessions where they took the lead. But just little things like that. But for the, I thought that this team played as poised and as solid a basketball as we could expect them to play in that environment.
There's no question.
And we caught them on a good night. I mean, Barry's not playing.
Yeah.
And Jackson, I believe, has a tough night for them. But still, we're much better defensively than you would expect a young team to be.
Yep.
And we're much better schooled than you'd expect a young team to be.
And the bottom line is, when you start looking at where Tennessee is, you know, they turn the ball over 16 times in the game. Carolina finishes with 10 turnovers, and that's, you know, and really, down the stretch is when a lot of damage was done by Carolina. You knew they were going to make plays. So let's go, if we can, we'll go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. John London says this Tennessee team's going to get better and better. Win a lot more than he thought. Pure hustle. Barnes can really coach. Here's my one concern. The team is so short. Your bench is so short. Great numbers are going to play. How long is too long, Bino? Especially when you have this type of schedule where you're going to exhaust some guys. And I don't want to do that before the league schedule goes, but you still have Gonzaga yet left. You've got a couple of wins at home against the Middle Tennessee, the Middle Mid-State teams. But Zag's down there, and that trip to ETSU will not be a walk in the park either.
Yeah, here's the key. And I know people are pointing to Gonzaga on Sunday, and that's fine. Where we're going to see a little bit about the maturity of this team is, how do they play against the Tennessee Tech team that went to Michigan State and played really well yesterday? And then we have Lipscomb coming in. So you've got those two games sandwiched in between this big game with North Carolina and a big game in Nashville.
Yep.
With Gonzaga. We'll see a lot about how they've matured. If they go through the motions in either one of those two games in the middle, they'll lose a game they're not supposed to lose. And that's what this team can't afford to do if there's going to be any postseason play for this team.
Really proud of the effort, though. Tennessee really held up, and I thought, obviously, this is a well-coached basketball team. There's no doubt about that. Again, I'm back to this. I mean, my theme is just how upside down everything is. Can we borrow this guy for our football? Well, let's, without further ado, bring Mark Griffin in, who was over there. And he comes from a split family. His lovely is a Carolina fan from back in the day. Griff, you were in a hallowed hall tonight as you join your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Glad to have you back. Keith Hatfield on assignment tonight. Griff, I would like your thoughts, having been in the stands for Tennessee with a gallant loss tonight as they come up short, 73-71. Your thoughts?
Well, Tony, first of all, I thought it was a great effort overall by the Tennessee team from top to bottom. Just an incredible environment to watch a basketball game. And you know, you talk about SEC or the Power Five conferences and ACC. I mean, this arena, the Dean Smith Dome, was sold out for this ball game today against Tennessee, and the fans really got behind their Carolina team throughout. When they were in a lull, fans stood up, old people, young people alike, really got into it. I think that the Tennessee players really handled the pressure pretty much in a great way. There were some unforced errors there as far as turnovers, I think, that came down to being unfortunate. And like you, Tony, I was just waiting on North Carolina to click, you know, to go on all cylinders and then see if Tennessee was going to fall apart. But they really hung in there to the end. It just, for me, it was from where I was sitting right behind the bench, it was just some costly, timely, unfortunate turnovers that came into play that favored Carolina. And Carolina, you know, played well at home.
Yeah, and that's the deal. Look, it was an 18-point line, whatever it was. Tennessee came that close, Griff, to shocking the world. That close.
Oh, it was once again a great effort, a great game to watch. I mean, the North Carolina fans were so friendly after the game. It's like being in a Tennessee football game, in a sense, leaving the arena and going back to the car. You know, it's a long walk to get back to the car. It's a cold evening. Very knowledgeable fan base. You could just tell that they were very educated, following their team, and give Carolina credit. But you know, I'm really proud of this Tennessee basketball team, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are wanting to know too. How do they gain from a loss? And that's going to be the big key when they're in their locker room right now. Sure, they're going to be holding their heads down that they lost, and I don't think there's, you know, moral losses. But the good news is they can now go into a rough or a hostile environment at Vanderbilt or Florida or any other SEC gym, and they're going to be able to look back and say, hey, we did this at Carolina. Now, what is it going to be the next step to finish the game so we can come out victorious on the road?
Griff, we're having a conversation here, Beanstar and myself. You know, early on before the year, I thought, God, they've overscheduled. What in the world? Was that your initial perception as well of this? Because it's not now. But I thought, good gosh, man, with the team you have, let's take some baby steps here.
Well, it's what the fans want, Tony, to see what we're made of. And if it's going to be an average season, so-called, and let's go ahead and play these powers that be and see where they stand. I mean, I know the student-athletes would rather play top-notch talent than play as Dick Vitale says, you know, the cupcake city teams. So I give the coaching staff credit for putting such a tough schedule. It'd be interesting to see what their strength of schedule is going into conference play. It's got to be very, very high. And once again, you know, these guys played, you know, AAU ball growing up with a lot of these kids. They want to play against them in these type of environment, and credit to the coaching staff once again for scheduling, and this is going to be, definitely this game will be brought up down the road as what they can learn from and take this forward to mature as this young team has gelled so far already.
Jerry Parrott just had a great line, Bino, on Facebook Live as we're interacting with folks. A lot of over-the-back calls that weren't called tonight. Griff, you're going to get that, right, when you go into that building? Did you see the game that way as well?
Correct, yeah. A lot of over the back, and didn't seem like there was a lot of over the back for Carolina. But the reason being, I think that if they're looking to say, well, why wasn't it balanced, you got to look at their personnel that they have. I mean, they're going, you know, 6'10", 6'10". I don't know what Tony Bradley is, but, you know, he's got to be 6'10 to 6'11".
God.
So, you know, that's tall timber there that we're up against. And what's our tallest guy? 6'7" that played? I mean, Alexander played limited minutes tonight. And actually, I thought played pretty well when he was in the game. But just looking at matchups, you know, you got those big bruisers inside, and Fulkerson just played so hard, it's hard to keep him out of the lineup. And one other thing, Tony, that your listeners may not know and yourself is, halftime, Fulkerson was throwing up in the dressing room sick. So I don't know if Barnes will mention that or not, but just know, you know, you heard it here that he was throwing up in the dressing room and came out and gave a great effort in the second half as well.
You know, Griff, I told Tony that watching the game, my biggest take out of it was the fact that we're not scared. And I would have thought that a team as inexperienced as this one, playing against, well, now you could make a case that at the time we played against three top 10 teams. We haven't looked.
Yes.
We haven't won a game, but we haven't looked scared a single time. We've looked like we belonged in those basketball games.
No, I think you're right, and I think a lot of that, you got to give the staff credit and give the players credit too. You know, they've stepped up, a lot of confidence, a lot of communication on the bench tonight. People are really encouraging their teammates. It was not anything adversarial at all. I mean, they were really trying to push them over the top, and the coaching staff obviously had a great scouting report and has done an excellent job scouting the Carolina team as well, knowing what they were going to run and calling out the plays in advance of what their schemes were. But both teams, you know, do a great job scouting, and this time of the year, you know what they're going to run, but it's just about execution and trying to make sure that, you know, that if you're on offense, that you're able to execute your plays, and defense, you know, you just try to stop them from getting where they want to, in the paint especially. And one thing as well that was very apparent tonight, I don't know if you saw it on TV, this is probably the best team I've ever seen transition offense out when a team scores a basket. They count the court faster than any team I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, Griff, they take it and push it. They're not playing.
They can push it.
I mean, Carolina.
Get up down the court.
Yeah. Carolina, a couple times tonight, off Tennessee, made shots. We're getting layups at the other end, Griff, or attempting to.
Yes.
That was like Loyola Marymount, like the way they were playing the game tonight at times.
And coaching staff was calling it out. The guys on the bench were calling it out. It's just that Carolina just did such an excellent job passing the ball, sharp passes, crisp players getting to certain spots on the court so that they could take advantage of a scored basket. They just did an excellent job throughout the game.
Our number tonight, should you choose to get in, is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. So Fulkerson throwing up tonight at halftime. Griff is reporting to us and still comes out and plays. I love watching that kid play. You can just tell, Griff, that somebody compared him earlier to Dane Bradshaw, and I'm not going to knock Dane Bradshaw. I think they're two different kinds of players. That Fulkerson guy, for a bigger kid, has a lot of skill to his game, man. And he can. And what's impressive to me is the way he sees the court for as young as he is.
Yes. No, he's definitely got skills, and he's only going to get better. People are going to scout him in SEC, and they're going to play him going left. And I'd like to see how he does go right. Haven't seen that a lot yet. But no one's been able to stop him going left. So if he can still continue to go left with that power move that he has and that drop step, then more power to him, and kudos to his, you know, his work ethic that he's putting in practice and being able to implement during a game. So he's just going to keep getting better. And his shot blocking ability inside, the way he really muscles up against this, you know, huge Carolina offense. And the thing is too, Tony, you got to, you know, next couple of years, I mean, we're watching pros here tonight from Carolina. This isn't just some team that's not very good. I mean, this is
right.
A team that could win a national championship that we're watching tonight. And I actually have them going to the Final Four, and we'll see what happens once they get to the Final Four, because they have the makeup of everything you look for in a championship caliber team, Tony, that Tennessee did so well tonight.
The thing they don't have is what they didn't do well tonight, which is they don't particularly shoot the ball well from distance. And they haven't so far this season, unless I'm mistaken, Griff. And, you know, tonight in that game, I mean, they got away with it. Carolina tonight, guys, is 2-for-17 from beyond the arc in that basketball game. Now, granted, they got some height and they got some guys inside they can play. 2-for-17 from three-point land. Griff, they go Jackson tonight. Could not buy one from the outside. He's 3-for-15 from the field. 0-for-6, Griff.
Over. Wow.
And he's one of those great players you're talking about. He's a great player. He's 0-for-6, Griff, in tonight's game from three-point land.
And he kept shooting.
And he kept shooting.
That's the thing about this team, though.
Yeah.
He kept shooting. So shooters shoot. That's what you always hear growing up, and you tell shooters that. And Justin just kept shooting the ball and did have a bad night. You know, we saw him in Hawaii, and he played much better than he did this evening. And I know he'll, you know, continue to work on his game, but that's in Tennessee's favor as well because of his, missed three-pointers. So, you know, but he'll bounce back. But, you know, good for Tennessee, though.
I'll tell you another thing I believe bodes well for Tennessee Mark, is it had to be kind of difficult for Grant Williams and Fulkerson with their Carolina ties to go back there and play with some poise. You know, it's a lot of times, especially when you're young and you're trying to impress people from the area that you played a lot in or that you're from, you don't always play your best game. And I thought both of them were really good tonight.
No, that's true. That's tough to coach, too, is keeping the emotion down. And I can just speak from history, knowing playing in a lot of big games, that's hard to do. It really is hard to maintain that. You're right, because if you ask both those kids, and they may have wanted to go to Carolina growing up, and here they are getting to go and play in Chapel Hill, and you know, it could be like a dream game to them, and maybe they've really looked forward to that all season, but haven't talked about it because coach may not let them talk about it. But there is a lot of emotion when you're able to go and play against a caliber team such as North Carolina growing up in the state, because basketball over here is what football is in Tennessee.
Griff, that game tonight, what does Tennessee take from it? What do you learn from a game like that, from an effort like that? You've come close now three times, and boy, it should have been nice to get one of those, because those were three. I'm not going to use the term heartbreaking, but Tennessee certainly played well enough, did enough good things in all three of those games against the name opponents to get out of there with at least one win. Now sit at 4-4, and as Beno said, you're in almost a spot where you don't have cushion, because if you think about it, you've got to get those two games, because you figure Gonzaga down there, a game you'll no doubt be at down in the mid-state here in a week or so. That's going to be an absolute handful. And then ETSU, day before my birthday on the 22nd, is going to be a complete handful. So, that's going to be a hell of a comp. That's going to be really hard for this team to go into that little bandbox. Those people are going to be fired up. That's their Super Bowl.
No, you're right. I think one of the takeaways, that area of improvement, and I don't know if y'all talked about it tonight, but was getting into early offense quicker. If you notice, Tony, a lot of the offense didn't get started till about 15 seconds or 17 seconds with a shot clock, which doesn't cause your defense to have to shift or work as much. Let your defense rest. I thought that was a big key tonight that I know that they'll be working on after watching scouting report or watching the game tape. But, you know, you've got to get your offense earlier than 15 seconds. Got to take care of the ball. There were several times too, they had some backdoor opportunities, but afraid to make that extra backdoor pass, because, I thought Carolina did an excellent job of overplaying the wing. So when you have a team that overplays, you've got to keep them honest by going backdoor. And I think there were some opportunities there, takeaway that, not be afraid to make that backdoor pass, to open up that offense a little bit more as well.
So get into the offense quicker. And then not be afraid to make the extra pass.
Yeah, especially the backdoor pass. When you're getting overplayed, Tony, coaches teach you that, you know, that to keep a defense honest, that you give the fake to go out in the wing, let's say, to get the ball. And if you're being overplayed, you automatically backdoor cut, and then you have that pass towards the basket, or you lob and throw the ball towards the basket to keep the defense honest. That's something I think that they could have took advantage of a little bit more, because Carolina's, you know, did a really excellent job of, I thought, defending the wings during what we call early offense, when they're trying to get in the offense early on in the shot clock.
Did you have a problem with the way they handled the end of the game with Lamonte Turner there with the basketball instead of, say, Hubs?
Looking back now, with the way Hubs played so well, I thought it would have been a better opportunity as a fan to see Hubs with the ball and let him back his guy into the paint and go for a quick shot, because I think there was like 8.9 seconds or a little bit under 10 seconds left. Had plenty of time for him to go to work, and he was so effective tonight. And give, you know, Hubs credit. I think it's one of the best games I've seen him play. You know, if they could do it over, maybe they would go into a different play. But I did not like the shot selection of Lamonte Turner driving to the basket and shooting a looked like a left-handed hook shot or a throw-up shot that got blocked. You could have got a better shot than that.
You know, I was really impressed with Hubs. He blew my mind in the first half. I've never seen him play like that. I mean, at one point, guys, he had a check back steal where he's playing defense, coming back, and actually steals a bounce pass. It's a pretty pass. It looks like it's going to be a wide open layup. And here's Hubs reaching in, taking the ball, and then the other way, I think there's like a little spin from, I want to say, Fulkerson, that falls off the side of the rim, and there's Hubs to slam the ball back in. I'm going, where did that come from? Where has that guy been?
I mean, I think considering the competition, I don't believe there's any doubt that's Robert Hubs' best game of his career.
Yeah, I agree. And he's
had better numbers, but he's never had a better performance against an opponent of that quality.
And Tony Mino, he was cramping. The trainer was working him the whole second half. Anytime they could get a break for him, which was tough to get him off the court, he had severe leg cramps, and the trainer was working him over the entire time on the bench, and then they just couldn't afford to keep him on the bench. So I don't know how loose he was the second half. I'm sure some people say, well, he scored X amount first half and only scored so much a second. I don't look at it that way. I look at what he did overall in the entire ball game, because that's what matters.
Yep.
And just had a gallant effort.
Let's go to the phones, get as many folks in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. My name's Tony Basilio. Available at TonyBasilio.com. 865-200-5402. Former Vol great Mark Griffin is joining me, along with the great Beano Jeff Henderson from Parts Unknown tonight, home of the great Mephisto, the Wolfman, and other tremendous dignitaries that once roamed the squared circle when wrestling was real, back in the day when Griff used to play with Coco Beware as a young
Coco
kid
Beware
in Union City. And Coco Beware's last name, real name in real life is?
Ware.
First name is?
Coco, that's the nickname.
Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in to our first caller.
Hey, guys. It's JM.
Hey, JM. Welcome in.
Well, I enjoyed the hell out of that game tonight, except for the final result. That was a painful loss, but high-level basketball played by our kids, I don't think there's much you could argue with from the effort standpoint. They just played really good, clean basketball. There were a few turnovers I didn't like, but I mean, they left it all out there, hit some clutch shots.
There wasn't a lot of stupidity in that game. I'll agree with that.
No, there wasn't. Just there was a few little times that they didn't quite know where to go with the basketball and maybe forced something to the wing, and it got slapped away and went the other way for a fast break. But not a whole lot of that.
As Beano said, a few spacing issues, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, for a team without Bone, they handled that really well tonight. Without their starting point guard, that's an impressive effort from them.
Well, and there's a couple things I was going to bring up towards the end of the game. If you notice, and Jay Billis brought this up while it was going on, when we had the ball out of bounds with, what was there, 8.9 seconds or something like that, give or take a decimal point here or there, our guys were all running these half circles near half court like there was 0.5 seconds left. I mean, that's what you do when you have to get off a prayer, a bomb at the end of the game. So I don't understand why that was going on. And another thing, North Carolina was at the free throw line with the clock stopped. So Barnes had an opportunity to give some instruction to somebody. And I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know if he did or did not, but to me, there was an opportunity to be more organized there, and they hit the second shot, so you got to take it out of bounds, and it just seemed like a rush deal with no plan whatsoever.
And that was the Meek sequence. That was before the final sequence, which was a 0.9 second left. You're talking about the sequence that ended with the shot from
our final possession.
Yeah, the shot from Turner that was blocked by Bradley.
Yes.
Yeah, who came in for Meeks. So, Griff, your thoughts on his observations there at the end?
No, I think he makes a great observation, and that was what was so perplexing afterwards was, you know, you've got all this time. Now, setting up half court, I don't understand that, you know, as well, but maybe it was just something he drew up to throw North Carolina off as well, that you could still get the ball in bounds at some point. It's not like they had to heave the ball all the way down the court with that plenty of time, and they were able to get the ball in bounds. That's the biggest key. But it just seemed like he just dribbled, drove left, threw up a left-hand hook shot, and that was it. And, you know, just didn't seem, and I'd have to see it on tape, just didn't seem like a lot of movement from the Tennessee team. And I don't know if that was, I just can't believe that would be the play that was drawn up.
Yeah, I don't know. And then there was one other criticism I had about the last few minutes of the game. Hubs didn't hardly get but maybe a touch or two in the last 5 or 6 minutes.
Now again, was it the cramp issue that took him out? Did he do his?
That's true, but there was a lot of there were a lot of times where it was obvious that the plan was to go to Hubs. You know, he was posted up or he had come off of a pick, and they would not throw him the ball. It's like they were scared. I know he was being guarded tightly, but there comes a time where you've got to give it a shot, you know, get the man the ball or at least try it.
Griff, is that one of the things you're talking about when you talk about the tentative passing?
Yes, I think that came into play. I think at the end, which if Tennessee had 16 turnovers, fine. I think there was some tentativeness at the end of the game that they were afraid to get the ball to Hubs. On the post or in the wing, they were overplaying them and do a good job. But if they overplay, you backdoor cut, and then you can get the backdoor pass. Another thing, and this goes along with what the caller was talking about too, is when you're running your motion offense, you're going to free up someone. If you have enough ball movement, you're going to free someone up, and you'll be able to isolate Hubs. And I was a little perplexed as well at the end to not see the ball in his hands, because he did only have a handful of touches the last, let's say, 10 minutes of the game, and for any game we needed the ball to be in Hubs' hands, it was this one.
I tell you what, he can be a little wild, but I would have liked to have seen Mostella get a few opportunities at some threes there. You know, he's a guy that can get hot and maybe could have spaced the game out a little bit to where we could have pulled away. And my God, that three-pointer that Grant Williams missed that touched every part of the goal.
Oh, my God.
I almost wanted to just take a lamp and throw it across the room. I think if he hits that basket, I know there was still about, I don't know exactly the time, maybe 3 or 4 minutes left, but I swear, I think if he hits that shot, we win the game.
You know what's crazy? You look at Chet Williams' kid playing, you watch Fulkerson so far, and you watch these guys grow up in like eight basketball games. And this team is radically better than they were against Chattanooga. I mean, radically. That night, I thought this team was going to win 6 games. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Nick Crisp just said, Barnes is totally the opposite of Butch. The guy's not recruiting great, but he's developing players, and he's producing players. And it's really insane how well they're doing at developing these guys. I mean, right before your very eyes, like 8 games later. Bingo. And you were making a point on Twitter, I want you to make it to Griff and then the Beano, about Fulkerson. Go ahead, JM.
Oh, I don't know. I saw Colonel
about his weight gain. I was talking earlier about how I think he needs to gain weight. And
yeah, maybe he might muscle up a little bit, but I wouldn't put too much weight on, because I think he's got some finesse to his game, and I wouldn't want to mess that up. I think if he could develop like a 10 to 12 foot jumper, man, he could be deadly.
Griff, if I'm them, I'd put a lot of weight on that kid. What do you think?
I wouldn't put too much on him, because I believe I concur with the caller. It's like, you know, he's a finesse player. You don't have too much baggage. He needs some, but, you know, as far as weight, you know, he needs strength, but, you know, upper body strength. He's obviously got lower leg strength, but just, you know, so he can toughen up inside, especially when you go up against guys like Kenny Meeks. And Tony Bradley, I mean, these guys are just bruisers.
I was thinking 75 pounds, Griff. Just 75. Just 75 pounds. That's what I said earlier.
Maybe 10.
Well, guys, I'll get out of the way.
Thank you, JM.
Some other people in here. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Beano, your thoughts on JM's points. 75 pounds, Beano. You down?
No. Hey, Fulkerson's actually bigger than I expected him to be.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he would be more of a rail than he is.
He's put on weight since he's been on campus. He's gained weight too now, guys.
So, and Griff, I thought, what one of the things about the play at the end of the game, that with Turner's drive, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I believe that what the staff wanted is if he didn't have an open look at the bucket,